Blog Talk Radio.
Hey guys, what's going on? This is Arden here, back with a new episode of the Football Jones, but for a very special occasion. I'm here on Monday morning with my guy, with one of my favorite draft analysts out there, and I really do mean it, my dude, Connor Rogers. How's everything with you, Connor?
Good, Arden. What's going on, man?
I can't complain, man. For folks that may be new to the show, I think for me and you, Connor, this might be our thinking at most maybe our third straight year doing a draft special.
Yeah, that sounds about right now. This is year number three for us.
Yeah, year number three. So this is year number three of us doing an NFL draft special. Thank you for tuning in. I really do appreciate it. I know Connor does as well. But this year is a little different because we're doing it after the draft. So we've had time after the big three-day event to really take in these picks, to take in the magnitude of the event. And of course, as we usually do with any sport, but especially football, it's time to move on and to look ahead. And of course, before we really get into it, please follow Connor on Twitter at Connor J. Rogers. His Twitter handle is in the title above. Now, Connor, with this draft, how do you feel about this draft for one, from a presentation standpoint in terms of everything that went into it? And two, what were your thoughts on it, of course, when it comes to the picks itself?
Well, I thought it was really well done. Arden, I'm kind of old school, and I'm biased like you because, you know, I'm a Northeast kid. I grew up in New York, and I'd like to see the draft back in New York. I think it belongs in Radio City Music Hall. And it's not even just because I'm from New York and it's convenient. It's just the presentation standpoint. I think Chicago's done a really good job, and Chicago's one of my favorite cities. But when it comes down to it, I would like to see it brought back to New York now. I think it was a good experiment to test it out somewhere else. But the tradition, the overall crowd energy, and the energy of the city itself, I don't think you could top the original, you know, which is at Radio City Music Hall. In terms of the actual draft that went down, I think it was interesting. Some teams' picks just seem so off the radar. And even that starting with the second overall pick of Carson Wentz, I think was really telling of how this draft was going to be. There was going to be some huge reaches. There was going to be some really smart picks. I mean, for your Colts, for instance, we didn't hear much about Ryan Kelly going in the top 20 until about a week ago, but he's a great player. And it's a quiet pick. It's a smart pick. So we saw a lot of picks like that, but then we saw a lot of crazy picks. I mean, we're going to break it all down, but it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, for me personally, I have to say, like, this was probably my favorite draft to watch over the last few years, man. There was so much intrigue heading into this draft. I mean, even outside of the obvious 1-2 combination of Goff and Wentz. But, I mean, the whole tinsel thing was just I don't know about you, but I've never really seen anything like that heading into a draft, like, 10 to 15 minutes before the freaking draft. That was nuts. And again, man, when it comes to, you know, us being Northeast guys and as somebody that was going to the NFL draft 3 years in a row, I missed the draft being in New York City, man. It was fun. It was something I look forward to. And, heck, I was able to go on all 3 days at times, man, because that's how fun it was, and I've had a lot of great memories. But when we talk about the picks, you know, A, let me tell you, I was very, very happy about the Ryan Kelly pick. That was my guy this entire time. I was like, we need to get Ryan Kelly. But there's just some picks that was like, it had to do with maybe just a system thing. Like, for example, like when you see the Giants up and they pick Eli Apple, the cornerback from Ohio State, and you have Vernon Hargrave still there, I'm thinking, okay, that has to be something about the system. That has to be something about maybe some type of physical traits, because Eli Apple, for me, was probably no higher than maybe my fourth to fifth best corner on my list. So to see that happen was definitely surprising. Carl Josephs, who I love, the safety from West Virginia, him going up in the top 15 stunned me because I was like, God damn, I thought he was going to go to Pittsburgh at 25. But other than that, man, I felt like it was definitely, like you said, man, definitely some surprises. You could definitely tell, like, okay, there's going to be some reaches, but I think those teams probably had reasons that justified their reach.
Yeah, I think you're right, and I think fans always overlook that. But when you just go back to base evaluations, the Eli Apple pick was, you know, obviously just kind of shocking. I think that there was better corner talent available, like you said. I think it's hard to take a player that is not, you know, not only is he not able to play right away, but it's a matter of will he ever be good? Because right now he's not ready for that. He's grabby. He doesn't get his head around. He has some talent, but I don't think he's very physical. I didn't like that pick at all, just being honest. You know, when you go through the top 10, there's some picks that I absolutely loved. I think Jalen Ramsey to Jacksonville makes perfect sense.
And of course.
I thought Jalen Ramsey was a top 5 player in this draft. I didn't think he's as good as a lot of people. Some people really love him. I think he's just okay in terms of instant impact. But I think long-term-wise, you look at the kind of athlete he is and the kind of attitude he carries, I think he'll be really good on the back end for Jacksonville as a playmaker. Ezekiel Elliott is one of the more interesting picks because the talent fits a top 5 pick, but the positional value is kind of a question mark. And we're going to see. And the Cowboys, he's going to get his work right away. So that's going to be really interesting one.
And you know what, though? I feel like when it comes to the Zeke Elliott pick, I think for Dallas, even though, of course, man, in today's age in NFL, we talk about really the running back position in ways becoming, you know, less viable each year, teams doing running back by committee. But I feel like for a guy like Zeke, and then you look at Dallas with that offensive line, oh my goodness. You're basically talking about, instead of like everybody else, it feels like everybody else has to deal with like a 5-year window at most. You know what I'm saying? Like 5 to maybe 8 years. If you're Dallas, you're basically looking at, if it all goes right, at least 10 years. So I think there was justified in doing that. But when I was also looking in the first round, I think the thing that really caught my eye was the fact that Corey Coleman was the first receiver to be drafted. I mean, I really like Corey Coleman. I mean, the guy could fly down the field. The guy was a big playmaker, but I was just surprised he was really the first receiver taken off the board by Cleveland that needs receivers.
No, I agree with you. I think it's kind of crazy when you – and listen, I'm like you. I like Corey Coleman, but I don't love Corey Coleman. I don't think I would take him top 15. I think there's a lot of work to be done there. This is a guy that didn't run a full route tree in college. He's got speed. He can make plays with the ball in his hands, but just wasn't asked to necessarily do a lot. And it's going back to another small wide receiver. When you look at the Browns, one of the more interesting drafts, because you knew they were going to take a different approach to this. This is an analytics-based front office. They kind of took guys that were all extremely productive in college, but production in college doesn't always translate to a good NFL player. And I think they took a lot of guys like that. Obviously, you can't complain about a seventh-round pick, but Scoopy Wright kind of defines what their draft looked like, a hard-nosed player that I don't think will translate very well. It's very interesting. They've retooled their entire wide receiver corps by landing Rashard Higgins, Jordan Payton, Corey Coleman. They got the Princeton tight end. So it's kind of interesting to see how these guys are all going to fit in right away. I didn't love their draft with how many picks they had. I don't think they got a lot of impact players right away, which is really disappointing because when you have that kind of amount of picks, you hope to land some. I didn't like Cody Kessler in the third round. I didn't really think he was a draftable quarterback. So,
yeah,
it goes back to capitalizing on these picks. We always go into drafts and go, man, the Titans really won this draft. They're going in with all these picks. Well, it's like, let's see what they do with the picks. And the Browns kind of flopped in my eyes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, what's so interesting, too, is the fact that, of course, Tennessee originally had the 15 overall pick after their trade with the Los Angeles Rams, but then they traded to Cleveland. I actually had Tennessee. I was thinking about it. I was like, you know what? When I was working on my mock, I was like, all right, I'm either going to go offensive lineman here or I was going to go receiver. I mean, of course, they end up going offensive lineman because they traded back into the top 10. They got Jack Cortland from Michigan State. But I actually had to go on receiver at 15. I actually had them going. My first receiver off the board, because I loved him during the process, was Josh Doctson from TCU. That was my guy, man. I was like, this dude is nice. I said, if I get him in the top 15, and you know what's so funny is Doctson ends up going to Washington, and I had Washington in the first round actually getting Corey Coleman. So if you ask me who I think got the better receiver, I definitely think it's Washington.
Yeah,
in my opinion.
I agree with you too. I had Doctson ranked higher than Coleman, but I mean, when it comes down to it, I just can't believe, you know, what happened with Laquon Treadwell, and it's kind of crazy to me that you know, first off, going to Minnesota, I mean, that's just great in my opinion. I think with Teddy Bridgewater, that was the guy they needed. This is a guy that kind of dominates that 8 to 12 yard, you know, range, and then he can make a play after the catch, which is so key for a guy like Bridgewater that kind of runs a, you know, shorter to intermediate passing style often.
Yeah,
and it's interesting when you look. You said Doctson was your guy, and Josh Doctson was my second rated wide receiver, I believe. I'm gonna pull that up right now. So when you look at this, I had it as, I thought Treadwell was a top 15 player. I had Doctson 16 overall, and then you kind of get into the Corey Coleman's of the world out of the top 25, kind of getting towards that 30 range. And then you looked at it, the way this draft fell, and it's just the two speed guys went right off the top. You got Corey Coleman going 15, and you got Will Fuller going 21, which I get it. I know teams want to win downfield. They want the, you know, the vertical passing attack, the guys that are a threat to take the safety off the top. Mm-hmm. But when you look at then Doctson and Minnesota going and the fits, I like the pick so much better because you got Kirk Cousins and Teddy Bridgewater there. Those guys aren't going to be pushing the ball downfield nonstop. They want to work the short attack.
Exactly.
They want to work the intermediate attack. They want guys that can go up and get the ball in the red zone after working off the run game in between the 20s. So I just love those picks. Yeah, I give the Doctson pick, you know, an A-minus, B-plus type, the Treadwell pick an A-plus. You talk about Fuller and Coleman, I don't know, man. I just don't like how risky those kind of picks are in the top 25.
They are. And you know what, though? The Will Fuller pick didn't surprise me at all because I knew, I was like, if Houston goes with receiver at first, they're going with speed. They're going with somebody that could take the top off. Plus, they really are going to be big believers in Osweiler's big arm. So it didn't surprise me one pick right there when they did that. But moving on from the first round, when we go into day two, once again, man, I think compared to the recent drafts, I think day two probably had the most star power that I've seen. When you think about Miles Jack being available and Jalen Smith, and then you had Kevin Dodd and Noah Spence and Reggie Ragland. These were first-round caliber guys. I mean, even another receiver that I really liked during the process, man, Sterling Sharper. So we look back at that second round, Connor. Any surprises to you there? Any picks that you really like? I know for me off the top, if I have it correct, my favorite pick from that round was the Jaren Reed pick by Seattle, followed by Reggie Ragland going to Buffalo, since I had that pick originally happening in the first round.
Yeah, I think you nailed it when you said that there were so many good players that fell, and you knew that was the case when you heard all day how much trade movement there was. They were trying to make at the top. Teams were trying to get the Browns pick, the Cowboys pick. They wanted to move up and get these guys, but the Browns and Cowboys, they knew to stay put. They had good players available to take. I think when you look at the Browns, they get Agba. They kind of get an edge setter right away to help their run defense on the outside, along with Danny Shelton on the inside. You know, Kevin Dodd of the Titans, not a bad pick, not my favorite pick. I like a lot of players better in that spot, but still solid defensive end. The Cowboys investing long-term, getting Jalen Smith. It's hard to argue with that pick. You let him sit this year, but in 2017, you got a stud at starting inside linebacker. So, I mean, when you look at Jacksonville, the Miles Jack is interesting to me because you love taking Jack in the second because the risk factor is a lot lower than taking him in the first. But this is a guy with knee that we just don't know how long it's going to hold up, and that's pretty scary. I think the upside of Chris Jones and the Chiefs could be huge. This is a guy that could be a Mo Wilkerson-type player. He just has to put it all together consistently. I did not like the Dolphins' pick of Xavien Howard because of the way they moved up. They paid up big for a corner that's not ready to play, and for quite frankly, he might not ever be too good. I think he nailed it with getting Sterling Shepard.
Yeah,
I mean, he's a stud.
And you know what, though? You know what, though, what I also thought was interesting was the fact that teams really kept – it's like what we said earlier in the show. It was teams were trading up to get guys that, you know, us fans, media, and like, draft guys, we were just like, huh? I found myself saying, huh, quite a few times. I'm like, who is this guy? I'm like, okay. I'm like, wow, you really getting this guy? But again, it must have to do with just what they feel is the right fit for the system.
Yeah, they always – teams are overconfident in ways that – I say the biggest skill of running a team into the draft is understanding your market and understanding what teams around you are going to do. And Miami taking Howard at 38 to me, or moving up and paying a pretty price to take Howard at 38 to me, it is an example of not understanding what's around you. I don't think he was going in the top, you know, 60 picks for sure, at least. And even if somebody wants to, it's a reach. And it's the same with the Jets with Christian Hackenberg. I mean, listen, Christian Hackenberg could
be how you feel about that?
Great quarterback. But I just don't think anyone was taking him in the top 75, so it's hard to take him at 51. You have to really love him to make sure that you're getting him. And there's a lot of better players on the board. It's hard to pass on guys like Deion Jones, Sue Cravens, Mackenzie Alexander.
Yeah,
you know, Cody Whitehair, you know, very solid guard. The Bucks trading up to take the kicker in the second round is the one of the most mind blowing things I've seen in draft in the recent draft history. I don't get it.
Yeah. I mean, I think he had to be the highest picked kicker. I mean, I think we have to go back to maybe what – I'll probably get his name wrong. Janikowski, the kicker from the Raiders?
Yeah.
Janikowski has to be the highest one. That's like 15 years ago.
I was going to say, that was a long time. Teams learn from mistakes. And, I mean, I don't know, man. It's just – I can't justify moving up in the second round and taking a kicker. Doesn't matter who it is. Doesn't matter who it is.
One pick that really surprised me. I mean, I don't know how you felt about him, but Kenyon Drake going in the third round to Miami. I didn't expect.
Yeah, I'm not shocked because of the talent Kenyon Drake is, but he just needs to stay healthy. And they lost Lamar Miller. The Kenyon Drake pick is weird to me because they showed no interest in bringing back Lamar Miller when they had the cap space. So then you use a third-round asset on a running back that you hope can, you know, be your pass-catching type running back. But you don't know if he's going to stay healthy. It's a big-time asset to use. You're right. It's interesting. It's really interesting. He could be really good. But
I don't know how you feel about the next running back I'm about to mention. But do you justify Miami selecting Kenneth Drake that early, but Kenneth Dixon went in the fourth round? And he's such a Baltimore pick. And you wonder why, like, Baltimore always seems – there's just certain teams, you know, that's just going to kill it in the draft. And Baltimore just gets it. Like, really? I'm like, come on, guys. I'm like, we really let Kenneth Dixon fall to Baltimore in the fourth round?
Yeah, I didn't understand that at all. I agree with you. And you know what's funny? I like Kenneth Dixon. I do. I don't even really love him. Like, some people said he was the second best running back in this class, and I wasn't in that.
Nah, that's ridiculous.
But I still think he's a really good – could be a really good player. And he was my 79th ranked player, and they got him in the fourth round. And you look at the players that went ahead of him, and look at Paul Perkins to the Giants on day three.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy. But you're right. It's hard to take a guy – and listen, it's about upside once again. Kenyon Drake could be the second or third best running back to come out of this class. He's that talented. But with the injuries he's had, the chances of that are low. And if you're Miami, you still get a pass catcher in Ken Dixon. He still is really good catching the ball. But he stays on the field. It's hard. Like, there's always weird picks that are hard to justify. And sometimes you can go back and be like, oh, well, that's why they did that. But other times, like, I don't really understand New England. The back end of the second round got really strange to me.
Strange. It was weird.
Starting
with
the Steelers. The Steelers reached on Sean Davis from Maryland. Not a good corner. They're going to play him at safety, I guess. Then the Bucs traded up to get the kicker, Aguayo. Can't even fathom doing that. The Patriots take a slot corner returner at 60 overall with Cyrus Jones.
Cyrus
not
Jones.
A good corner right now. Not a good corner right now. Then the Saints take Von Bell, who can cover a little bit but can't tackle or play physical to save his life. So those picks in a row at the end of the second round, when there's so many good other players on the board, kind of mind-boggling.
You know what, though? If just to switch it up a little bit, since we're talking, like, towards the end of the second round, I mean, even looking into the third, And I'll go as far as saying I think if there was any stretch in the draft that could be considered the best stretch by teams, I'm going to say third round picks 82 the 85. I mean, start off with my Colts. We're at 82. We got LaRaven Clark. I really like that pick. So I watched the guy. I'm like, yo, this is one big mother. You know what? The guy has long arms. He can really move. And I'm just thinking, I'm like, thank God we don't have to go into the season thinking Denzel Good or whoever could be our right tackle. I'm like, I like this guy. I hope that he can develop. And you look at the next pick, your boy's getting Jordan Jenkins. That was huge. That's
he had
a,
no
I
business
mean, you guys got Jenkins
no
and
business.
What?
Yep. He had no business lasting that long.
God,
he's a good
damn,
player.
You guys killed
he should have
it.
Been long gone.
I mean, Jenkins and Lee, hey, there should be no complaints about athleticism in the linebacker court now. You guys don't got to deal with no goddamn Calvin Pace no more. What is it, DeMario Davis or whoever. No more slow linebackers for the Jets. You guys got some speed now and some youth. I mean, who else? I know people were hard on him this past season, especially in the process, but Washington getting Kendall Fuller. I mean, whew. If he turns out right, that's going to be one bad corner to deal with, especially in the slot. And I mean that in a good way. Because they already got Norman. They got the other corner. I forgot his name, but I think he was Washington's best corner last season. So to get Fuller there, I mean, Washington, Scotty knows what he's doing over there. And then I was so mad. I was so mad. I'm like, how we let Braxton Miller fall to Houston? Now my coach got to get their conditioning up. Because I don't know how we're going to cover D-Hop, Fuller, and Braxton Miller. We don't got the type of speed in the secondary, bro, unless C.J. Green, our second-round pick, can be an impact player right away.
Yep. Yeah. It is crazy to see some of the guys that fell in the third round. Even C.J. Procise going to Seattle. I mean, that's a team that just knows how to churn out running backs. Just churning out
how you feel
backs.
About How you feel about New England? This surprised me. How do you feel about New England getting the quarterback from North Carolina State, Jacoby Brinson or whatever?
You know, I like Brissett's arm, and I like what he can be, and I like that he won't have to play there. This is a classic New England. We're going to take this guy with a big arm, can move a little bit, you know, good hardworking guy, and we're going to see what he can become in 3 years and maybe try to trade him. So I don't hate it, but at some point New England has to draft impact players. And they haven't. They haven't done it. So, I don't – it's hard for me to get on that.
I hear you on that, man. I hear you on that. I think once they realize it's going to be the end for, like, Brady and or Belichick, I think that's when they're probably going to start, you know, try to get those guys to get impact right away, but to each their own. But when it's now time to look at the big picture and looking at teams that you feel kill the draft or fail the draft, which teams come in mind? I'll tell you right now, I'll be honest, as a Colts fan, I feel like we killed the draft. I better not see a grade less than a B-plus from anybody out there. I don't care what anybody says. We killed that draft, man. I was happy. We killed that draft. I know people going to talk about, oh, the Colts didn't get a pass rusher. Look, man, we're going to be fine. Defensive line stays healthy. We got depth there. Hopefully Robert Mathis could throw – back to the clock time. But look, I felt like we killed that draft.
No doubt. Like I said to you earlier, I kind of went off about the Browns draft. I didn't love it for how many picks they had. I wasn't a huge fan of it. Once again, I felt like New England didn't get any impact players. And when you look at, they got Tom Brady there, that's all well. But look what happened last year. I mean, you need impact players. You need guys that could really step in and help that offensive line right away. And they did. They tried to take offensive line. I just didn't necessarily like the picks that, you know, that they made. So it's as simple as that. They had to get better right away. I thought the Giants bounced back well after a disastrous first day. I think taking Eli Apple at 10 is one of the worst picks in the entire draft, easily. But you go back and you get Sterling Shepard, a nice number two, really a number three,
played
with Beckham. That's good.
Yeah,
Darian Thompson's a good safety, man. He can come out and play the run. He can cover. B.J. Goodson's a pro-ready linebacker. You get Paul Perkins, he's gonna get his carries. And Jarrell Adams. I mean, that's a really, really nice draft after Eli Apple, which is an awful pick, which makes you so frustrated because if you just take Vernon Hargreaves to 10, you got an A-plus draft. A+.
Yes. So, yes, I completely agree with that, man. One team that really impressed me, you know, and you know what though, I don't know about you if you saw it, but I didn't really see nobody really talk about their draft. I thought Chicago had one heck of a draft.
They had a great draft.
I thought they really did, man. I really like, you know, Leonard Floyd. I actually had him going to New Orleans at 12, so him going in the top 10 didn't surprise me. And then when you look at their next few picks, Cody Whitehart, the guard from Kansas State, Jonathan Buller, the defensive end from Florida, and the inside linebacker they got from West Virginia, that's a strong three straight picks.
And
that's
all
strong,
guys, man.
And they got
right
Jordan
now.
Howard in the fifth round.
Yeah.
And they got
the
Jordan
Bears
Howard in the
well,
fifth round.
The Bears did well because they got guys that could also help right now, and that's hard to do. And even Daniel Braverman in the seventh round is a solid grab. I mean, you need a slot receiver, you take him. I have no problem with that. So I thought they did well. I mean, a lot of teams did well this year, man. A lot of teams did well.
Yeah, man, a lot of teams did well. And you know what? For me, I'm looking at the teams right now that really did well, outside of the obvious, because, I mean, people will mention – you know, the AFC South are doing their thing. The teams like the Giants after their first day will be mentioned, along with a few others, even your Jets and things like that. But my final team that I have to bring up, man, I have to give them kudos for their draft. Cincinnati, dude. I mean, Cincinnati, you want to talk about filling needs and getting guys that could. Tyler Boyd, it's such a Cincinnati wide receiver.
It really
he
is.
He is such
it really
a Cincinnati wide.
He can come in. He can
the
come
moment
in and
he
do,
got drafted.
He can come in and do what Mohamed Sanu did there. I mean, he could be that guy right away in terms of production,
man.
In terms of impact. So I like that
man.
Pick.
I said that.
I mean,
right,
Billings in
as
round
soon as
four.
I saw it.
I like Billings in round four. I mean, they got good value. That's what Cincinnati did. They got Billings in
William
round four.
Jackson
they got Christian Westerman in round five. Yeah. I mean,
jeez.
That's what Cincinnati
does,
though. They get value.
But, jeez,
you know what I mean?
They killed it.
I think one of the more interesting drafts or volatile drafts is what Oakland did. Oakland can come out of this and have a star-loaded class or they could have a complete dud. Because I love Carl Joseph. I do. But he can't stay healthy right now. He's smaller and he doesn't take care of his. He throws his body around like a rocket, dude. But if you look at Jihad Ward in the second round, I didn't even love his tape. I think he's a great athlete, but I didn't love his tape. So it's a guy that you got to develop, which is fine. Shalik Calhoun in third, I can't complain about that. He can get after it off the edge. I don't like Connor Cook at all.
Yeah, that was weird. That was a very
that
weird
was weird. And DeAndre Washington's just okay. I would have liked them to take Paul Perkins instead there. So, the Raiders have killed the NFL draft the last couple of years. This is going to be a really interesting one.
Yes, man. It's going to be a very interesting draft. It was very fun to study. And, heck, man, I really enjoyed this draft because I was nailing it in the first round. I mean, out of 31 picks, I would say combining my correct picks in terms of the player and position address, I went 17 for 31. Which is a career high for me in the 3 years I've been doing this. So I am feeling good entering next year's draft season.
Yeah, I mean, as you should, no doubt.
Hey, Connor, thank you once again, man, for coming on the show. Dude, your work, I'm telling you, man, has been so good, bro. I really mean that. You've been improving so much, and I'm very happy that you've been getting the recognition that you deserve.
Thanks, man. I appreciate
somebody
that.
Somebody to trust, man. For real.
Well, thanks,
Arden. Folks listening, please. No problem, man. To the folks listening, please follow Connor on Twitter at Connor J. Rogers. He has a lot of great draft content, Jets content, anything that you need, he got it for you. Connor, thank you once again, man. This is always fun doing it with you.
No doubt, Arden. Thanks, man. Take it easy. It's my pleasure.
No problem, man. Have a good day. All right, folks, that was the Football Jones special edition. Who won the draft? NFL draft special featuring myself and Connor Rogers. Thank you once again for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. As we finally close the book on the 2016 NFL draft, now let's continue with the rest of the offseason. Of course, we have OTAs. Of course, we have mini camps. And then, of course, we have to go through what is the toughest part, which is freaking early July. But training camp comes. preseason comes, and that just basically means that football is back. Thank you for listening once again. Really do appreciate it. I really know that Connor appreciates it. And that's just that. That's the Football Jones. Talk to you guys next time. Peace.